So we were talking about Thanksgiving and fried turkeys. As Desiree Reed Francois sits down with us. Easy segue, right? What a segue.
Absolutely.
So let's get into, first of all, let's go back to last week and the San Diego State game and what it was like in the stadium. I was there on the sidelines. I saw you come down to the sidelines. The end of the game was really cool, and it's nice to see a team that has struggled and has battled injuries all year finally enjoy a victory.
Absolutely. You know, you're right. It has been a tough, goodness gracious, it's been a tough season. And what was so, and I get it, we're in a results-oriented business. I understand, and I've seen all the analytics, and if I haven't seen a specific analytic, I'm sure my friends on Twitter will make sure and remind me if I miss something, and I appreciate that. But what was so special, and you probably saw it being on the sidelines, was just seeing on our young men's faces their just absolute joy, and I was just so excited and so proud to be a part of that moment.
It was cool, too. Seniors contributed down the stretch. Lexington Thomas was just an amazing run.
Right.
75 yards, was like 120 all over the field. And then Jericho Flowers, who I don't think is 100%, just came back after missing some time. He gets the interception to basically clinch it.
Absolutely. And it's been fun. Ty Jason and I text during games, and I give him some of my analysis, and he gives it back. And we were texting back and forth after the game. And, you know, football just teaches you such amazing life lessons. And it was a special afternoon.
I saw after the game that you were kind of in the hallway. You were putting the helmets away. You were greeting the players.
God.
I thought that was a really cool moment. Was that something you kind of planned on doing, or was it like you kind of got caught in the moment and you just thought it was the right thing
to do? Gosh, I didn't know anyone was like watching that. I've done that for every game.
We're always watching.
Oh gosh, that's so embarrassing. I do that for every game,
okay.
And you know, because there's that, you know, the young men, they celebrate on the field or they whatever, and then I always go in the locker room post game, and I noticed maybe about 2 games in this season, like our equipment staff, you know, they're trying to hustle and get all the helmets from our guys as they're going into the locker room, and they put it in the cabinet. And so I just noticed that they needed some help, and so I just start taking the helmets and I just start putting them in there. And I don't know, last month our equipment staff was kind of like looking at me like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, can I help? I can just stand here and like do nothing, or I can help. So, but I didn't know that people were filming me. So thank you so much, Mike Grimala.
Is he going to get Jim accosted? That's it. You're not welcome. Funny thing is, I was on the other side taking pictures. I never got a good picture.
Oh, God, you were doing it,
motion,
too?
Because you were constant, and it was like, you're back.
Shut up. You were taking pictures.
And afterwards, I was like, I should have taken video.
Oh, goodness.
And then you'd be yelling at me.
Oy vey. Oh,
hard
boy.
Pass.
So what are the banned areas we can't?
I didn't even
It was a cool
that.
Moment.
Well,
it was.
No, it was.
How many athletic directors are sitting there putting the helmets because you're fired up for the team and –
Well,
cool.
I just wanted to help, and our equipment staff, like, they do so much behind the scenes, and I don't pretend to know everything that they do, but I just wanted to try and help.
So you gave a statement on Tony Sanchez and his future and the future of the program a couple of weeks ago, and then, of course, we sat on the air, and we're trying to break down every line and read between the lines.
Goodness.
I thought it was pretty clear. I'm going to examine it after the season. Do you still need to examine it after the season, or does this win do something for you, and you're ready to go, you know what? We're going to move forward with Tony for another year.
I think it's my responsibility to, and I do this with every single program we have, right? We are going to do, like I've been saying, and I've been pretty consistent, that we're going to do a comprehensive review at the end of this season, and that's what we're going to do. We owe that. We know, I get it, it's a results-oriented business, and it's not just a one-game snapshot. We got to look holistically, and we got to plan for the future. And so we're going to look at it top to bottom. We did it last year, and we're going to do it this year, and I do it with every single one of my coaches.
When you talk about comprehensive, so let's put the football stuff aside, like the on-the-field results. And also, I think something that should be factored in is, hey, Armani Rodgers went down. You can see there's a change on offense. All of a sudden, the run game is not what it was, so he lost his starting quarterback. But the stuff off the field, can you point to some specifics where, you know, maybe the average fan doesn't think about academics, you know, community efforts, the quality of kids you're bringing in, obviously the football facility. Those are all important things that are part of the Tony Sanchez football culture.
Well, and Armani didn't play against San Diego State. We always obviously look at every analytic. You look at the strength of your recruiting class. You look at your strength of schedule. You look you look at wins and losses, home, conference, you know, all the analytics that everybody points to. You look at staff retention, you look at turnover rates. And so the analytics are one thing. But the best head coaches, and I've had the privilege of working with some really great ones, and what I know to be true, the best head coaches are great leaders. And so that's what I look for. So there's the objective factors, but then there's also the subjective factors. And to be a great head coach, right, obviously X's and O's, critically important. Obviously recruiting, critically important. How do you evaluate talent? Are you retaining that talent? Is that talent getting better? Those are the kind of the objective factors. But the subjective factor is that CEO piece. And what kind of leader is this person for our young men and our young women? And do they provide direction for our program? Are they building trust with our student athletes amongst their staff? Are they and amongst the folks in the building and their support staff? Are they providing hope? And then ultimately, this is a results-oriented business, and every great. And I hate to say athletics is a business, but those folks that run a business in their, whatever their sphere is, you have to have a plan, right? Because if you're directionless and you're just like a ship without a rudder, you got to have a plan. So we're going to look comprehensively top to bottom.
My two cents, and I don't know that you care, is I think he should stay around. I think there's an interesting conundrum you're dealing with right now with attendance. Winning is going to help. But I also think there's something, my experience in Las Vegas is coaches need to be in place who are also folks who can rally the community. And I just, from what I've seen around the country, there are coaches in certain situations who they might work there. I'm not sure if they work in Las Vegas in the current atmosphere. I think you have to be part of the community, and a coach who would come in and just say, hey, you know, it's me. I'm a big timer. Of course people are going to come out. I don't think that's the way it works in Vegas anymore.
No,
just my two cents.
I appreciate that. And this community is very important. And it's important to every place you've been, right? When I had the good fortune, no one really, Virginia Tech, it's not a remarkably easy place to recruit to, right? Southwest Virginia. But we had the good fortune of having Coach Beamer, and Coach Beamer built that program, mm-hmm. and you've seen what Virginia Tech was able to do by building it the right way. And that's what I tell my coaches. Hey, listen, first and foremost, you got to treat my student-athletes the right way. If you don't do that, I need to fire you. We all need to fire you, and we don't need a person like that that doesn't treat our student-athletes the right way. And don't cheat. And you know, that's not just something at a tagline that an administrator says, right? And I think we've talked about my brother's injury. So this isn't just a professional expectation. These are someone's sons and daughters, and any deviation from that expectation, it's not just – it just you don't deserve to be leading young men or young women.
Right.
So that – and then we got to build it the right way. That means don't cheat. And so that's just, I tell my coaches, treat our student-athletes the right way, do not cheat, do not let me be surprised, and let's be the leader that our community expects.
And I think the way the program handled the injury to Ty Jason Roberts, you mentioned him earlier, I think from what I heard and I saw, they did a pretty good job. By the way, how is he doing?
He's doing so well. He came to our game, and his mom, Ramona, she is amazing. He's walking, and it's just one of those moments that just warms your heart, and you realize why you do what you do, because you have an opportunity to impact people's lives.
She's got a very busy day, so we'll spend five more minutes, right?
Absolutely.
With Desiree Reed-Francois, the AD here at UNLV. We're on campus at the Thomas and Mack getting ready for the Riverside game. All right, so let's talk basketball.
Yep.
First of all, we've talked to you in the past, and you pride yourself on listening, right? Listening to what, say, the students want. And you guys, I don't know if you have all 20 directives here, but I did get a list of 20 student initiatives. What's the biggest one? You're going to have a setup in the building before most of the home games outside of, like, the winter break.
Yes.
Why?
And
what is it?
Sure. We're going to have a student lounge. And so what we did all those surveys, right, last year, and we're continuing to do the surveys. But one thing we heard from our students is, hey, my class ends at, like, 3:15, and then your tip-off isn't until 7. If I go home to Summerlin, I don't want to come back. and so I need a place to go. And so we decided, all right, you know what, let's work with folks and let's create a lounge so our students have a place to go in between. They finish their class, well, you know what, come over to Thomas and Mac. And so we're going to do that for every weekday game that when school is in session.
Reception so far? Pretty good? I don't mean them showing up, but I mean the students' reaction to it.
You know, I think it's a little early to tell, and I can't give you any quantifiable data on that. You know I'm a data-driven person. Can I just tell you I don't know? Can I say that?
Of course. I think my question was kind of silly.
Oh.
Now that I think
me
about
it. Me too.
So we got T-shirt giveaways that you guys are doing for Cincy. And they're all themed in some way, so we can get into the details. There's going to be a red one for the Reno game, New Mexico, San Diego State. That's an interesting one, Neon Night. And then the Boise game.
Who doesn't like Neon Night?
Absolutely.
Come on. Have you been out and seen the Neon Rocks in Las Vegas?
So let's talk about the basketball attendance.
Yeah.
And how we get the rest of the community kind of fired up again. Again, winning is going to help.
Right, but it's more than that, right?
Okay.
And we got to tell the UNLV Run and Rebel basketball story. We've got to create a reason for people to care. And as we've seen, this community can galvanize around something special. And so we've got to make sure that we are that special. We can create some magic here. But we also know that we've got to provide the event. This is Las Vegas. And so, like we mentioned those surveys, you know, last year we heard thoughts and feedback on, hey, we like T-Mobile's scoreboard better than yours, and we like this and that, and so we're trying to address the this and that. And we have you been out and you've seen the new, well, you've seen the new scoreboard, right? And the new scoreboard's going to be special.
Now, let me break in for 1 second.
Yep.
Where do you go scoreboard shopping? Something weird that I thought of. I'm like, who sells these things? And do you, like, bargain? Is there, like, four vendors who do scoreboards?
Kohl's,
I mean,
Kohl's are on
the
sale.
The thing is massive. I don't know how big the screens are because the old screens were ridiculous.
I'm
you
like,
know,
I want
old
the
era.
I'm like, get me the biggest, coolest one that I – and I went and I went and I looked at T-Mobile, and I went and I've looked at, like, every arena in the ACC from my prior life, and I've been at every arena in the SEC and the Pac-12.
Well, this one has to be better than a lot of those.
Right.
There's some old buildings that don't have scoreboards like this.
Right, and so I was like, give me the biggest, coolest scoreboard that you can that doesn't cause the roof to collapse. So that's what I was looking for. Don't make the roof collapse because people will get really ticked off.
That would be bad.
Yeah, I know, right?
Not an engineering expert.
That's worse than losing a game. don't crush us with your new scoreboard. But it's spectacular. It's a good-looking scoreboard.
Thank you.
I cut you off. So you were talking about the scoreboard was a big initiative, and obviously you had to generate some money, you know, drive donations on that.
Absolutely, and we've been very fortunate. The Boyds have been wonderful partners, and they have really stepped up, and we're so appreciative of them giving that lead gift to enable us to have that new scoreboard. And we were also able to put a new scoreboard. We actually repurposed the old Thomas and Mack scoreboard and put that in Cox. And so now volleyball and women's basketball have a brand new scoreboard. They've never had one before.
I take it back. The screen is very good for Cox.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
Oops.
When you look at it in this venue, right? And versus you put it in Cox, and it makes a huge, like if you've been to Summer League games, it makes a huge difference.
Yep.
So we're enthused about that. And also, one of the top five things that fans told me they wanted was they wanted Chet Buchanan. And so, and I wasn't here during the Chet Buchanan era. And so I went and I met him at, you know, he does the toy drive. And I was like, well, he's a cool guy. And I listened to his radio show, and I watched some tape, and I was like, all right. And I interviewed him, and I thought, all right, let's give it a shot. And I didn't go to our home opener because I was with football at San Diego. But the exhibition game, man, I was pretty fired up. So I'm looking forward to having Chet back, and he's a great partner, and I'm very appreciative.
What's the biggest factor this year in terms of, hey, we're going to move forward with Marvin Menzies? What do you want to see Marvin accomplish? What do you want to see the team accomplish?
Progress. Yeah. He really treats our student-athletes the right way. He believes in them it's all great leaders make sure that their student-athletes or whomever they're working with know that they're cared about, and I think our kids know that they're cared about. Now, there's going to be some growing pains. We've got a lot of youth, and I think the philosophy is get old and stay old, you know. But we have some talent. We just have to find our groove, and we have to find that chemistry. We have to see who's going to step up and be that leader. But I'm looking for progress.
I often wonder, does the university community get driven nuts that we ask these questions? Like, is it wrong of us to be asking about Tony Sanchez's future and Marvin Menzies' future? Because I also think if we weren't,
Goodness,
that would be really bad. I think apathy is the one thing you don't want.
100%. We want people to care, and we want people to have opinions. So I'm very appreciative. And I made the joke about Twitter, but I try to be... Now, I never respond to folks who tweet at me, you know, if it's really obnoxious. Right. And I'm not going to do that, or if they swear or anything like that. And I don't respond to personal attacks. but I do... I listen, you know, and I want to make sure that... You know, we can only be successful here if we're all in it together. And that's not just our athletic department. That's not even just our university. It's our community. And that's what makes Las Vegas so special.
Desiree Reed Francois with us, the AD. Let's close on this. How'd you wind up doing in terms of the money you generated for the RAF drive? What was it, about 6 weeks ago now?
Yes.
You guys exceeded expectations big time.
We did. We were about, you know, I think we ended at about $358,000. And so I think we were about a third of the overall campus drive, and we were appreciative to be a part. We're very enthused. I think we're up about 40% in new donors to our Rebel Athletic Fund. And, you know, we're just very grateful. This isn't my athletic department. This isn't our university. This is our community's athletic department. So we're very appreciative.
What's the biggest thing you're going to do on the Hawaii road trip? You're going, right?
I am going on the Hawaii road trip.
All right.
Oh, goodness.
Well, you're
gracious.
A top-level outdoors person, woman.
I love to run.
I would figure you'd find somewhere to run in Hawaii.
You know, we have an alumni event. We have a donor event. And we also have a football game. But I usually like to go for – I like going on big runs. And, yeah, I might go hiking or something like that. I haven't even thought about it. And, like, it just kind of hit me.
Sorry. I don't have plans yet.
I know. I have nothing.
It's a good place to run. I won't be running.
We know.
Nor would you.
Yeah,
okay,
no. Yeah. We're not a running show.
Pot calling the kettle black.
We're not the highest weighted show in the nation for no reason. We got to keep up appearances, Steve.
I showed up to work yesterday, and I was like, where is everybody? And I'm like, was it really early? And then I realized it's Veterans Day. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, we were working.
No days off.
That's right.
Days off with Belichick, right?
That's right.
All right, well, we appreciate a couple minutes. We know you squeezed us in today on a busy schedule.
Thank you.
Thank you.